Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone here today. We know it's a little bit hot, a little uncomfortable, but it was freezing about 4 months ago. So thank the Lord it's nice and warm in here. Heavenly Father, we pray for everyone here today that you would touch their hearts and touch their minds. Father, we pray that you would keep your angels at the doors to keep the enemy out. We pray this would be a time of the Holy Spirit touching everyone's heart. I ask you in advance to bless the meal and bless the food and all things that will be handed out over here. I ask you to bless the message and bless Bill. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, Jesus Said Ministries. Welcome, everyone. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
I welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I'm glad you're here, and I hope you came to receive two things. Number one, physical support, be that clothes or food or a lot of other good things. But number two, that you came to receive the bread of life, because the bread of life is what can sustain you the absolute longest in your life. And without it, you're going to leave here hungry, regardless of whether you ate or not. So I encourage you to that. In John chapter 9, in verse 31, it says, "It's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does His will." I'm going to give you a little different message today, a little stronger message, because I think we all need to hear it. But again, in John 9, it says, "It's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does His will." Do you understand that if you're living like hell and you pray, that God doesn't hear your prayer? God listens to the righteous. God listens to the repentant. God doesn't listen if you just pray randomly for no reason and you're not serious about your relationship with Him. So it's really important that we get that. And when I read that verse, you got to understand, in John chapter 9, was voiced from the blind man that just got healed. That blind man was blind his entire life and praying for his entire life for God to change his life. But he never was serious and he never repented and he never said, "God, forgive me of my sin." And on this occasion, he met Jesus face to face. Couldn't see him, but he said, "Jesus, please touch me." And when Jesus touched him, he healed his body and he forgave his sins. And now that man could talk to God. And so they called that man in before the witnesses and before the courts and said, "Who is this Jesus?" And he made it clear to them, he's the one that if you're serious with him, will have a relationship with you. But if you're not serious, give it up. Well, anyhow, there's a message I wanted to preach today. And that is talking to you about fears. How many fears do you have in your life? You know, it's interesting that the Bible or the dictionary records there's over 600 phobias that people have in their lives. And I'm wondering what phobia you may have. And they also create a top 10 list. And it's kind of interesting. The first one's fear of flying. Second one's fear of public speaking. The third one's fear of heights. Fear of dark. Fear of intimacy. Fear of death. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Fear of spiders. Fear of commitment. And those are all interesting top 10. And you might have 8 or 9 of those, Benjamin, in your life. Okay? But my question to you is, what is missing from this list that we must have? What is missing from this list? And if my PowerPoint had worked right, it would have come up, the fear of God. That's the one that's missing. You know, it's really encouraging. I mean, there are definitely healthy fears that you should have in your life. And those healthy fears range from fire to heights to water. And we got to understand those fears. You know, I remember it was just a few months ago, we traveled to Honduras to meet my daughter. And Honduras is a foreign country. There's a high crime rate within Honduras. And we had to get off at an airport. And we're traveling from one city to another. And, you know, we decided to save a couple dollars. So instead of pre-booking the cab driver from the airport to the hotel through our hotel so we could get a trustworthy source to show up, we just decided to walk outside and grab the first cabbie. And that's me and my wife and my daughter. And that's all good. And we got out there, and you know what? I asked the guys how much you're going to charge us to take us over there. And I saved $10. But I got in a broken down cab that scared the snot out of me. And this guy looked so shady that it made my skin crawl. And, you know, it took forever to get there. And I can't tell you how long our family was praying that we get there safely. It's good to have healthy fears in your life. It's good to be realize that there's certain things that don't make sense, and saving a dollar isn't the best decision that I ever made. You know, I remember when my son was young, he had no fear of water whatsoever. And that really was a problem for us, because I remember one time we went on vacation, we went down to Florida, we're checking into a hotel, and I look over to my wife, and I, you know, where's Bill? And it's like, oh my gosh, my son is gone. At this time, he's probably 4 years old. Where did he go? And I looked at the hotel receptionist, and I said, where's your pool? She said, right through those doors. And it's like, oh no. I ran straight through those doors, and I looked down at the bottom of the pool, and there's my son. He had no fear of water. Now, the good news is I figured that out in time to make sure he was okay and it didn't hurt him. But was it a good thing not to have fear of water? Absolutely not. You know, and as he got older, he gained that fear. He went whitewater rafting with mom and dad, and I think I told you a couple stories about that. Okay? But here's the deal. Do we fear God, and should we fear God? Because I'm here to tell you that having a fear of God is a healthy fear. You know, it's amazing to me. People want to hear about God's love and long-suffering and mercy. But they don't want to hear about God's righteousness, His righteous indignation, His holiness, His judgment. They don't want to hear about that peace. They don't want to hear about His justice. They just want to hear about the fluffy stuff, you know? It's really cool. You know, we went to Oklahoma on a mission trip here just a week ago, just got home, and we shared and preached with them about the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those are all wonderful things to talk about. But associated with that, you also need to understand, you got to get the aspect of God that He loves you, He cares about you, and He loves you and cares about you so much that when you're screwing up, He's going to let you go through some really bad stuff to get your attention. He's going to let you go through some really bad stuff to get your attention. I remember on our trip, there was a young lady. Her name was Bethany. And my family's been going out to Oklahoma and doing this mission trip for 11 years now. And we've watched this young lady grow up. And now she's 18 years old. And what really broke my heart relative to this trip is on Monday when our VBS started, Vacation Bible School, Brittany was nowhere to be found. And so I was really disappointed because I was looking forward to seeing her. Well, don't you know, about 10 o'clock that night, she showed up. She drove in. She was spaced out of her mind. She couldn't stand up. And she had no clue as to where she was. And I was really saddened by that because here's a girl that I've poured the Spirit of God into for 10 years. And I'm going out and looking forward to seeing her and doing that again. And now she's messed up beyond belief. And I felt like a failure. I felt like all my effort, all the times we came out on this trip didn't mean nothing. But I'll tell you what was really miraculous about it was the fact that the reason Bethany came to the VBS that night was because we were there. And she came because she knew that the Kickapoo Friends Center was a place of safety for her. So she came home. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus said ministry is a place of safety for you. And it's a place you can come home in if you choose to. But you got to want to do that, my friends. It's not something that's just going to happen unless you make an investment. So I'm here to talk to you today about these healthy fears. And in Ephesians 6, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." You are in the middle of a spiritual battle, my friends. And the devil wants to defeat you. And the devil has told you, you can't get better. This is the life you should live the rest of your life. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to spend the rest of your life struggling the way you're struggling. And there's somebody here that's not listening this morning. And I'm here to tell you, you need to hear this. You are blaming God for where you are, and it's not God's fault. You are saying, "Why did God let me end up here? Why did God do this to me?" And He didn't. You see, because my God, my Savior, tells me in Jeremiah 29, "I know the plans I have for you." God has plans for your life. He has desires for your life. And He's given you those plans, but you ignored them. In many cases, the Bible teaches in Proverbs, man without vision will perish. You have to have a vision of your future. You have to be able to see into the future and know that God wants to do something miraculous in your life. He wants to set you free from your poverty. He wants to set you free from your bondage. But you know, when He said, "Hey, here's your way of escape. I'm going to help you get this job." And you get the job, and you make a couple bucks, and then you make a crack run, and then you blame God because you lost your job. Does that really make sense? Does that make sense? Or God opens up a door for you, and He lets some money come your way, and that money's burning a hole in your pocket, and you go out, and you just get drunk all night, and next thing you know, you wake up with a headache, and no money in your pocket, and it's God's fault, right? No, it's not God's fault. You're listening to Him who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But there's one that comes to give you life and to give that to you more abundantly, but you have to receive it. So my friends, I'm here to tell you that the fear of God is critical. You've got to get that in your life. And then, moving on, you got to understand that relative to man, we have this rebellious nature. You know, we don't always want to do things God's way. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy, if someone has a stubborn and rebellious son or daughter who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they are disciplined by him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the outers of the gate of his town. I mean, that's getting serious about the relationship and saying when you screw up, there's consequences. There's consequences. And they're not bringing them to the elders at the gate because they dislike them. They're bringing them to the elders of the gate because they love them. And they're trying to change their behavior. And they're trying to pour into them to keep them from making the same mistake over and over. I know when I was growing up, my dad was a big man. And the last thing I wanted to do was get in big trouble. Because, you know, you could mess up a little bit and it's no big deal, you know. Mom would deal with that. But I'll tell you what, when I really crossed the line, and I never knew where that line was because it just, I think that's part of the fear factor. When I crossed that line and Dad brought out that leather belt, I knew I was in deep doo-doo. But anyhow, here in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and life? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God's discipline for us is good in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, Strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level your paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but healed. Do you understand that when we have discipline in our lives, and God puts discipline in our lives, that it brings healing into our lives. It brings deliverance in our lives. It brings direction into our lives. And it gives us back that vision and that hope we once had that we abandoned because we listened to the father of lies. Discipline, my friend, is not only desired but needed for all of us to be successful. I've been a Christian now for a lot of years. A lot of years. I can't even count. 30-some. But what I'm trying to tell you is there's certainly been times in my walk with the Lord I've screwed up. And I've intentionally made bad choices. And I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit convicted me, that the Holy Spirit told me, you need to get your act together and turn around before you go down this path that's going to lead me to destruction, that's going to lead me away from the Lord. And I have to make sure that I come back at that point. There's a couple other scriptures that I think you might want to see. Hebrews 4:13 is very clear. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him who we must give account. Do you understand that? What's that mean? There are no secrets with God. What you think you're getting away with and what you think you're okay with, God knows. And God knows if you acquired that through honest means or through dishonest means. And He's not going to bless the dishonest money. He's not going to bless it. You know, I'm really thankful that this church that we serve out in Oklahoma and McLeod, the Kickapoo Indians have a couple very large casinos. And the ministry has made it clear, don't bring the gambling money into God's house. We will not accept it. Because they want to be blessed by God continuously, and that means no life of compromise. You can't have it both ways. In Matthew chapter 12, it says, you have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose that you say is worth anything when you're so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight, a cancer, a disease, a decay, a death to the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. Do you understand that? What comes out of our mouth by saying, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior, can set you free for an eternity. But if you refuse to say those words, it's setting you on a course and a path straight to hell. And another part that I liked about this is it says it'll bring death to the orchard, an evil person. There are people in here that are hanging around with very evil people and you know it. You know it. And God has told you repeatedly that if you want victory in your life, you got to stop hanging around with those people. Because those people are dragging you down and causing you to fail on a regular basis. And it's very clear that if you take a rotten apple and you put it in with a bushel of good apples, it's a very short period of time before the whole bushel of apples is rotten too. Which means your life will continue to be corrupted, your life will continue to be rotted, and you will not be set free, my friends. And our key for us is that we be set free in Jesus' name. There are so many verses in the Bible that talks about having fear of the Lord. I'm only going to go over a couple of them real quick. In Psalm 2, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. What does that fear mean? I mean, again, I feared my father when he was angry at me, but did I fear him when he's taking me out to dinner? Did I fear him when we're going to a movie together? When we're going fishing together? Absolutely not. So this fear of God that we're referring to is a reverence, a respect. It's a healthy relationship with our Lord and Savior. Do you understand that? And we all have to have that, my friends. How about Psalm 31? How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. How great is God's goodness when you're in His presence, and how miserable are you when you're far from God because your sin has separated Him from you? Can I get an amen? And then it says, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. So the key is, are you taking refuge in God or are you hanging out with the devil? Psalm 34:9, fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The command is fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Alright, in Psalm 103, as the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. So the Lord says, fearing Me is a good thing. It's a healthy thing. It's something you want to have in your life. Why? Why? Another verse, Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Are you a fool today? Do you hate discipline? Do you hate wisdom? Because God's trying to set you free and put this in your life, but you have to respond to it. If you're not, then the Bible, not me, I will call no man a fool per the Bible, but Jesus is saying, if you don't get this in your brain, and it doesn't permeate your mind and you don't understand it, this is the result. So the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. So in other words, there's a wisdom in our own eyes that says, oh, this is okay. This is no big deal. You know, I'm taking advantage of Walmart. They got millions of dollars. The Lord knows if you're stealing. He's given you the Ten Commandments. He's told you in those Ten Commandments, there's certain rules. Loving the Lord your God. You know, putting no other gods before Me. He's made it clear that we can't steal, that we can't kill, that we can't chase after another man's woman. There's certain rules that are just very clear, and if we break them, we've broken our covenant not with man, but with God first. And it brings His discipline back on us to change us, transform us, and renew us. We got to get that, my friends. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord has length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Do you understand that? If you fear the Lord, you're going to live a longer, better life. You don't fear the Lord, your life's going to be short. In Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord, there is strength and confidence, and His children will have refuge. So you can have confidence in the Lord and trust in the Lord if you put it there. Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. When you drink from the Holy Spirit, it fills you up in such a way you're not thirsty. Remember the woman at the well? He said, if you drink of My water, you will never thirst again. But you've got to do that because it's healthy to have the fear of the Lord and drink from that fountain. And so in Proverbs again, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth and turmoil. With turmoil. Do you understand what that means? That means there's a lot of rich people that are living miserable lives. They're not happy. How many suicides do you read about relative to all the actors and these millionaires and billionaires? They're not happy because they're missing one key ingredient. The fear of the Lord and the Lord in their life. And we don't want that, my friends. Ecclesiastes 12. Now all that have been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's the commandment I'm giving you. Fear God and keep His commandments, and then and only then will you have peace in your life. But here's where we're getting down to the grassroots. In Matthew 10:28, it says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what that verse means? The devil is coming and trying to kill your body. He's trying to take you off the earth to usher you into eternity. And there's two choices relative to that. One, you listen to him, he defeats you, and he sends you into eternity. But the devil can't send you to hell because there's only one judgment seat and Christ is manning that seat. And he's going to look at your life and tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. So you need to fear Jesus Christ because His judgment day is coming. And He's going to look at you and tell you how you measured up in accordance to His commandments. In Philippians 2, it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Do you understand? It's good to have a healthy respect and awe for God. It's good to realize when I screw up, I know I answer to God first. And I need to stop making bad decisions in my life. I need to give up those addictions that are in my life. You know, when we went out to Kickapoo, I asked the pastor there, I said, "Pastor Brad, what would you like me to teach the senior high on?" And he gave me two subjects. The first subject he gave me is, he said, "These kids think God's nothing but a Santa Claus and gives them everything they want." He said, "They understand the love and the grace and the mercy thing, but they have no fear for God." That's a bad place to be, my friends. And I taught on the fear of God in Kickapoo as well. And I remember one young man talking to a friend and saying, "I have drugs in my possession." And he got rid of them that night because he got back a fear of God. And he told us the week before, Satan had his grips on him. And Satan was going to destroy him and convince himself to kill himself. And today, he's living for the Lord. Amen. In Luke chapter 12, it says, "I'm speaking to you as dear friends. Don't be bluffed into silence or insincerity by the threats of religious bullies. True, they can kill you, but then what can they do? There's nothing they can do to your soul, your core being. Save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body, and soul in His hands." This is saying there's people that are telling you that if you go to church, I'm going to beat you up. If you go to church, I'm no longer going to give you money to keep you getting food and support your habits. There's people that are bullies that are trying to control your life. And the Word of God says, you know what? It's a shame that they do that. It's wrong that they do that. But at the end of the day, what really matters is, you know, they can't steal your soul for eternity unless you listen to the devil. And we don't want that to happen, my friends. And here's another thing. When we were out and I was teaching the senior high, it came up one day because earlier that day, the pastor had gotten a phone call and a 26-year-old young man had committed suicide. And I brought up the suicide word in the meeting with these kids. And they were just appalled at me. Because again, they're used to that love and mercy God, all right? But I said, "This is a really bad thing. This man died in Indian terms a dishonorable death, meaning the tribe wouldn't even bury him." And see, the tribe teaches that when you die and you end up in heaven, we have a ceremony and we give you a special Indian name. And if you give that name to the man that's manning the gate in heaven, he'll let you in. Well, guess what? That's not going to work out very well, because we know that in Romans 14 it says, "For we all will stand before God's judgment seat. It's written, as surely as I say the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will acknowledge God." And salvation is found in Acts 4 in no one else. For there's only one name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. What's that name? Louder. Louder. Amen. We got to get that name. And I told you in Jeremiah 29, He has plans for you. He has a future for you. He has a desire for you. But you got to get it, my friends. If you keep listening to the lies, and every time God gives you a new vision, you're going to end up right back in the same mess you're in. So at the end of the day, there's 600 fears in the dictionary and growing. But in the end, only one fear matters. And that's the fear of God, my friends. You got to have the fear of God. Because if you don't, you're headed to destruction. So I looked up some of these 600 words, and I'm only going to give you a couple of them, all right? You got to get over your ecclesiastophobia. Do you know what ecclesiastophobia is? It's a fear of church. You got to get over your euphophobia. Euphophobia is fear of good news. The good news of the gospel of Christ is if you submit yourself to Him today, you can start on a new path, head down toward a new eternity, and change your life. But you can't fear euphophobia. Okay? You need to have hadiophobia. You know what hadiophobia is? Short for Hades. It's a fear of hell. It's healthy to have a fear of hell. Who wants to go to hell? If you say yes, I'm telling you, you have no clue what you're talking about. And you'll regret ever saying that before a God that loves you and Jesus that died for you. Okay? And depending on your decision, you got to get over your thanophobia. Thanophobia is a fear of dying. Okay? Because you know, if you ask Jesus into your heart and you were to die today, you're going to a better place. No more crying. No more tears. No more suffering. No more pain. It's a place of peace, my friends. It's a place that you'll spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, and it's a wonderful thing. You got to get a good, healthy case of theophobia. Theophobia is theology. It's God. You got to have a healthy fear of God. All right? And that fear of God is going to be one that's going to tell you that you are okay now and things are going to be better. And you need to understand theological phobia is your friend. And that's a fear of theology, my friends. And that fear is one that says study to show yourself approved. Jesus Christ is a gentleman, and He's not going to force anybody to come up to this altar. But if you're loving your life in such a way today that Jesus isn't in first place, you're headed down a path of destruction. And I'm here to tell you, you know I've been coming up here for 10 years and I preached many a sermon on the love of God. And the love of God compels us to change. But the fear of God also is part of the full counsel of God that you must understand. And so whatever the Lord has convicted you about this morning, whatever the Lord has said, you need to stop this in your life, you need to turn around from your sin, and come back to Me, He will set you free again. Again. And He promises if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And that means that the people you hung around with, the things you used to do, the habits you used to have, will all slowly start to disappear. And everything will become new. We're here to pray for you. We're going to do one song before we open up the clothes and the food. Let the Holy Spirit draw you. Come in Jesus' name.